This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atamman al-akmalani ala man ba'athahu Allahu rahmatan lil alameen. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Prophet Isa, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Moses, and upon all of the prophets and all of the messengers that were sent to mankind. After the revelation to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he received the revelation at the age of 40 in the cave of Hira, Jabal al-Nur, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Mecca. And in Mecca, he is not given a warm welcome. He is actually ridiculed. He is mocked. And he is given many names. They refer to him as a liar. They refer to him as a plagiarizer. They refer to him as a madman, as a person who has been possessed by an evil demon. They refer to him as a soothsayer, as a sorcerer, as a magician, as a poet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his very book, the Quran, addresses all of those titles and clears him of all of those titles. Yet these absurd titles never reshaped his impeccable manners. When the Quraysh people of Mecca saw that the number of people converting to Islam was increasing, they wanted to negotiate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe if you worship our Lord for 1 year, and we will worship your Lord for 1 year. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. O disbelievers, I will not worship what you worship, nor shall you worship what I worship. There is no compromise. So what did they do? They sent a man by the name of Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. He went and he sat beside the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said to the Prophet, "You know you're standing among us. But you have brought a matter of grave concern to the people. You have divided their community. You have made fun of their customs. You have criticized their gods and their religion, and you've declared some of their ancestors to be unbelievers. Now listen to me. I'm going to make a proposal for you to examine, and perhaps you will accept some of them." Now, after listening to this introduction, what do you think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the chosen one, al-Mustafa, said to this man? Did he say to him, "Hey, get out of here, man. You know who you're talking to? You're talking to the Prophet of Allah here." He was a very simple man, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, "Speak, Abu al-Walid." He addressed him as Abu al-Walid, which is a very beautiful way, respectful way of addressing other people. "Speak, Abu al-Walid, I'm listening to you." So Utbah continued, he said, "What is it that you want? Do you want money? If it's money that you are after, we will collect some money for you and we will make you the most wealthiest man in Mecca. What is it that you are after? If you want honor, we will make you our chief so that every decision is yours. Do you want a kingdom? We will make you a king. What do you want? Are you possessed by the jinn? If you are possessed by the jinn, we will employ the most skillful of doctors to treat you." So when Utbah had finished, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with all simplicity, he turned to him and he said, "Have you finished, O Abu al-Walid? Are you done?" And he said to him, "Yes." He said, "Now listen to me." And he read to him some verses from a surah, from a chapter from the Quran called Surah Fussilat. And when he heard these penetrating verses that penetrated his heart, that permeated his soul, he went back to his people and his people looked at him. And they saw that he had come back with a different expression on his face to the one that he left with. He says, Wallahi, by Allah, I have heard words the like of which I have never heard before. Wallahi, it is neither poetry. It is not magic and it is not soothsaying. He says, O men of Quraysh, O men of Quraysh, leave this man alone. Be considerate towards him and don't interfere. They said, Wallahi, he has bewitched you. He has bewitched you with his tongue, Abu al-Walid. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he kept good relations with everybody that was around him, irrespective of their status. After his encounter with Jibreel in the cave of Hira, he came back to his loving wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her. And he's very frightened. He's very scared and he says to her, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me up, cover me up. And then she gives him comforting words which show the reality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, Allah will never disgrace you. What are you worried about? You keep good relations. You keep good relations with your relatives. You help the poor and the destitute. And you serve your guests generously. And you assist those afflicted by calamity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, praised the good character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of the 6,236 verses that were revealed to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim. And you, and indeed you are of a great moral character. Aisha, his wife, was once asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Summarize his character, O Aisha. You are his beloved wife. Tell us about his character, his manners. She said, Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His character was the Qur'an. He was a walking, talking Qur'an. In other words, he embodied all of the beautiful teachings of the Qur'an. For example, the Qur'an says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, and speak to people good words. So you find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying the most beautiful of phrases and sentences to the people around him. The Qur'an says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah loves those people who do good. So you find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displaying kindness to people from all walks of life, whether they were old, whether they were young, whether they were male, whether they were female, Arab, non-Arab. He was the first to fulfill the commands of Allah. He was the first to refrain from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. He was a bouquet of beautiful manners. He had a servant by the name of Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik, his mother gave him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to serve him. So he would see much of the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. For 10 years I served him. And in 10 years, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never said, uff, to me. He didn't say, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he faced many challenges. He faced much persecution and ridicule at the hands of those who opposed him. Whilst he is praying in front of the Kaaba, the placenta of a camel, the guts, the intestines of a camel are placed on his back. One day he is walking with Anas ibn Malik. He is walking with Anas ibn Malik, and a Bedouin grabs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam violently by the collar of his shirt, leaving a mark in his neck. And he says to him, "Give me from the wealth that Allah has given you." And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turns to him and he smiles and he says to the people, give him something. In the hadith that we read in Sahih Bukhari, Aisha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Was there ever a trialing moment in your life, a more difficult moment in your life than that which you endured during the Battle of Uhud?" The Battle of Uhud took place in the third year of the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. It is the second battle of Islam. And during this battle, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who walked the walk, was fighting the disbelievers himself. And during this battle, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wounded. He was wearing a helmet that was made out of rings. And two of these rings, they popped and they pierced his temples, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His lip was bleeding. One of his teeth was broken. So it was a very hard moment for him. So Aisha is asking him, "Was there ever a moment in your life that was more difficult than that moment?" Listen to what he says to her. "Yes, there was. There was the time when my people in Mecca had ridiculed me and mocked me, and we were facing persecution. And so I went in search for a place, a safe haven, a place for our people to migrate to. And so he went to a place almost 100 kilometers away from Mecca, to a place called Ta'if. He went to a place called Ta'if. And the way that the people of Ta'if welcomed him is by sending their children and the fools out to pelt him with stones. And so he was wounded and he was injured and he left." Can you imagine? Can you imagine how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how down, how disheartened, how sad he is? And so he walks some 30 kilometers, it is said. You know, sometimes when you're depressed, when you're down, and you just go for a drive, and Allahu Akbar, you've already driven 100 kilometers. You're already in another state. You're not thinking. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he walks 30 kilometers to a place called Qarn al-Tha'alib, and he sits there. And who appears before him? The angel Jibril, the one who brings down the revelation to him. Angel Jibril comes, and with him is another angel that he is introduced to. He is the angel of the mountains. He said, "This is the angel of the mountains." And so before even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to speak, the angel of the mountains started to make some propositions, some proposals. He said, "Look, if you want, there are these two mountains that Mecca is encircled by. If you want, I will bring them down, crushing these people." What do you think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was a fountain of sublime manners, said to the angel of the mountains? He said, "I pray that Allah will bring about from their offspring people who will worship Allah alone and ascribe no partners to Him." And that is exactly what has happened today. All of Ta'if, all of the people of Ta'if are Muslims. He was a fountain of sublime manners. In Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, we are introduced to a man by the name of Thumama ibn Uthal. Thumama ibn Uthal. He was one of the most powerful Arab rulers before the revelation. He was one of the rulers of a nearby city or area called Al-Yamama. And he was one of the rulers that received a special invitation from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to enter Islam. But he refused to listen to the invitation of truth and goodness. More than that, he felt a strong desire to go and kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and for the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be buried with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in his pursuit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he met and he killed a group of the Sahaba, a group of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And on his way to Mecca one day to perform Umrah, to perform Tawaf, to circumambulate, to circle, to encircle the Kaaba that housed an idol for every day of the year, he is captured. He is captured by the Sahaba. He is captured by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, taken to the Masjid al-Nabawi. He is taken to the mosque, to the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he is wrapped or tied to a column of the Prophet's mosque. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informed that Thumama ibn Uthal has been captured. So what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam do before even addressing him, before even speaking to him? He arranges for some food to be prepared for him. He arranges for his very own camel to be milked and for the milk to be given to him. And then he approaches Thumam and he says to him, "What do you have to say for yourself? What do you have to say for yourself, O Thumama?" So now Thumama says, I'm going to propose three options. The first option is, if you want to kill me in reprisal, you can have someone of noble blood to kill. You want to kill me? Kill me. You want bounty? You want money? He said to him, if you want compensation, we will give you the money. Or if you want, you can forgive me and I will be very grateful. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he leaves him for 2 days. But at the same time, he's giving him food. He's giving him drink. He comes back to him and he asks him the same question. What do you have to say for yourself, O Thumama? And he gives the exact three same responses. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to the Sahaba, set him free. After 2 days of observing the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the beautiful mannerisms and the way of the Muslims, he rides off. He rides off until he gets to a palm grove on the outskirts of Medina. He washes himself, he turns back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mosque. He stands before a congregation of the Muslims and he says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." I believe and I declare that there is no God, no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness and I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his servant and final messenger. And then he stands before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he says, "Ya Muhammad, wallahi, by Allah, there was never on this earth a face more hated than yours. And now your face is dearer to me than anything else. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim." Khalid ibn al-Walid, one of the greatest military commanders of all times, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu wa arda, about Khalid ibn al-Walid says, women will no longer give birth to the likes of Khalid ibn al-Walid. He was one of the few military generals in recorded history that was undefeated in battle. When he died, there wasn't an inch in his body except that it had some scar from battle. He fought against Islam and the Muslims. And his tactical military genius is responsible for the killing and injuring of countless Muslims in the Battle of Uhud. A few years after Uhud, he enters the city of Medina. He approaches the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the sword that is responsible for the spillage of so many Muslim lives. How do you think he was greeted by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Khalid, in his words, he says, I approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, afraid of what is he going to do with me. And he said, as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw me from a distance, he raised up his head. And he smiled. And as Khalid ibn al-Walid is approaching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, continues to smile until he was right in front of him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after stretching out his hand, shakes his hand. And he says to him, I knew you had the intellect that will guide you to Islam. And he became known as Sayfullah al-Maslul, which means the drawn sword of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was considerate towards mothers and children. In Bukhari we read that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would intend to lead the congregational prayer, and he intended to have a long recital. But then he would hear the crying of an infant and he would shorten his recital so as not to make things difficult for the mother and for the child. In Sahih Muslim we read that a Bedouin entered the masjid, the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he urinated. He urinated in one of the corners of the masjid out of his ignorance. And so the Sahaba, the companions, were prepared to attack him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prevented them. And he said to the Bedouin, he said to him, in these mosques, it is not right to do anything like urinating or defecating. These are places for remembering Allah, for praying and for reading the Quran. And he commanded for a bucket of water to be thrown over the urine. He displayed perfect manners even towards animals. Once, while he was traveling with the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum wa arda, they caught two birds, and he can hear the wailing of the mother of these birds from above. And he says to the Sahaba, who has hurt this mother? Who has hurt this mother by taking her children? And he orders for the two birds to be given back. He had compassion to humans, to animals, even to inanimate objects. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he used to deliver his sermons, he used to recline on the trunk of a tree, and then a pulpit was made for him, a minbar, a place for him to stand to deliver the sermon by the carpenter of one of the ladies of Medina. And then when he began to deliver the khutbah on the minbar, this trunk of a tree began to weep. It began to weep, and he came off the minbar and he began to pat. And he began to embrace the trunk of a tree until the sound of this tree subsided. And in Bukhari we read, Hadith Aisha, that a group of Jews entered upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while she was sitting with him, and they said to him, Assalamu alayka. Assalamu alayka, instead of Assalamu alayka, they said Assalamu alayka. And Assam means death be upon you. So what did Aisha say? She said, وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّامُ وَاللَّعْنَةُ May death be upon you and the curse of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was a fountain of sublime manners, he says, Ya Aisha, Allah is kind and lenient and likes that one should be kind and lenient in all manners. And she said, didn't you hear what they said? And he said, and I said to them, Wa alaykum, and to you the same. In Bukhari, a funeral procession passed by, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, out of respect for this funeral, he stood up. They said, Ya Rasulullah, it's a Jew. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, was it not a human life? And in Sahih Bukhari, we learn that he never complained about food. He would eat the food that he liked, and if he didn't like it, he just simply didn't eat it. He didn't create a fuss. His humility was and will forever be unmatched. A man stood before him trembling because he is the messenger of Allah. So what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say to him? He says, be patient. He said, I'm not a king. I am only the son of a woman from Quraysh who used to eat dried meat. And upon entering his city of birth, Mecca, and upon the conquest of Mecca, after having been rejected from it for 10 years, what do you think he's going to say to the people who drove him out of his city of birth, the place of the center point of Islam where the Kaaba exists? After 10 years, he says, O Quraysh, what do you think I am about to do with you? They replied, you are a noble brother, the son of a noble brother. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no lecture. He said to him, I say to you what Yusuf said to his brothers, have no fear this day, go your way, for you are all free. Indeed, he was a beacon of good manners. I will leave you with some prophetic gems and pearls of wisdom regarding manners uttered by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I was commissioned to perfect good moral character. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, those who are most beloved to me and the closest to me in the hereafter are those who have the best manners amongst you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he is not one of us who does not show mercy and compassion to our young ones and respect and honor towards our elders. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the best of you are those who are best to their families, and I am the best of you to my family. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a person can reach the level of a person who prays all night and fasts all day just because of his good manners. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there has never been and will never be a human that will come into this world until the end of time with better manners than that of the Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And Allah and God Almighty is my witness, and Allah knows best, and Allah is the source of all strength. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.